Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Enduro Metals Corp, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ENDR, and on the OTC markets under the symbol SIOCF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Cole Evans. Now, Cole, just following up on a news release that came out this morning, September 30th, a general exploration update focused on the company's Newmont Lake project in the Golden Triangle in BC. Now, as I understand, the assay labs are very backed up. There's been a lot of drilling on, and it's still ongoing, in especially the Golden Triangle, really a lot of the Northern Hemisphere. So I believe the company is still waiting for assay results to come back, but this is more of a general exploration update. Can you please just give us a little synopsis of the news and the work, at least initially, that's been done?
Yeah, definitely. Well, Corey, first, thanks for having me on again. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. Yeah, I know the press release that came out this morning was more so just to keep an update for our shareholders on the work that's been completed and remains ongoing. As you mentioned, the assay wait times for 2020 are longer than usual, and we didn't want people to get worried, oh, how come we're not hearing from everybody? But it's just unfortunately a reality of where we had this COVID, obviously pandemic really coming through in the spring, and then this flurry of financings by a number of companies, including ourselves, and everyone rushed into a tight period as a result of all that to get some work done. And as we said before, you know, you're only as quick as the slowest piece, and unfortunately they're just underwater right now in sampling. So, you know, in saying that, we've had things in the queue there already for 6 weeks plus. So while we say, you know, longer than anticipated assay wait times, we've also had samples in there for quite some time. So can't make any predictions on when we'll see those, but I don't expect it to be much longer.
Okay, let's talk about some of the individual targets that are outlined in this news release. I will also post a link to this news release, but starting off with this McClymont fault, this is a high-grade gold and silver and copper target. So far, you have 11 drill holes totaling a little over 3,000 meters that are completed. Give us, again, a little reminder of what this target is all about and, well, the fact of the matter that most of the drilling so far has happened here.
Yeah, definitely. So as you mentioned, along the McClymont Fault, this is dominantly a high-grade gold target. And, of course, there's associated silver and copper with that high-grade gold mineralization, something we're very focused on. And we had sniffs of it already from last year and in the work that we did through the winter, is these three mineralization styles, and recognizing that you have this, you know, what we call the skarn or replacement mineralization. These are those broader, you know, let's call it an average of 40 to 50 meter horizons of anywhere from 4 up to 7 grams that we've been seeing, and showing that, hey, look at our goal, this is open, and this is plunging down into the hill. And then the other two are these epithermal, as we call them, or feeder structures is what we've been saying. These are your narrower, higher grade intercepts. Again, drawing on an example of one we've already drilled before, it's about a meter of 77 grams gold, again, with associated silver and copper. And then the third one being your, I'll call it, you know, your lower grade porphyry-like mineralization styles, your broader horizons of lower grade gold. And you can see in that press release and this plan view map that we had, is most of our drilling is out in this northeast extension area and moving towards an area that we've called Goldfish, in a very systematic approach. And Of course, you can only get into what we have out publicly, but you can see the progress of how the drilling's been in taking, you know, anywhere from 35, 50, 60 meter step outs each time, and working with what we know and what we're seeing and in the information we're gathering in the field, and ultimately just building out the size of this deposit, because that's quickest way, obviously, to add ounces is by making it bigger. And then the second way is, you'll see we've done some drilling back in the historic resource area from the 1980s drilling itself, where we're drilling for the first time, getting oriented core data, you know, the whole assay sampling. Importantly, it's what we call HQ drilling, so it's a wider diameter, so you're getting a more representative sample of the rock through there, and we anticipate, and we'll wait on assays, but anticipate on the assays that we've had from some of the historic stuff we've done and that we've chatted about before, that we might see an increase in the amount of gold that's known within that historic area itself. Those are the main goals from coming out of the drilling.
So, Cole, is there any follow-up work that is still going to be ongoing here, even before you get these drill results back?
Yeah, so drilling's ongoing there. I was, just before I did this call, I had the morning meeting with the technical team in the field. I was actually up in the field over the last little while. I'm back at the office now, but yeah, we had the I just had the morning update on how drilling went last night. And no, it continues. We're going. We're confident in what we're seeing, and we're going until Mother Nature tells us that it's time to leave.
Okay, let's move on to the Ken Zone. You and I haven't talked much about the Ken Zone, actually. So can you give us a little background on this Ken Zone initially?
Yeah, so the Ken Zone is a really interesting area. It's about 2.5 to 3 kilometers. To the north of the McClymont Fault area, particularly this northwest zone, northeast extension. I'm kind of moving up in that direction. And it was actually originally identified in 1961 by a little company called Newmont Mining, that hence the name of the project in Newmont Lake. Yeah, they'd first recognized that way back then as being prospective for high-grade gold and copper. And, you know, in recent years, and there's some good work done actually by the previous operator, Romeos, who had the project before us, who we optioned it from, and identifying some high-grade gold. You know, they had some channel and chip samples on surface of 4 meters of half an ounce with 4% copper and, you know, an ounce and a half of silver, numbers in and around there. So, and then a couple, like I said, from back historically, there's a couple drill holes in the general area that were seeing some really good gold enrichment, you know, like 140 meters of 0.4 gold. So we made it a focus to go and map that area, to get some more sampling done and narrow down, hey, what's going on? What's, you know, I always say to people, you know, when you see these broad gold enrichment areas, it takes a lot of fluid. So, like, you know, I know most of your listeners are non-technical, so I'll just try and keep it high level. But, you know, it takes a lot of fluid, takes a lot of heat to do these sorts of things. And you want to know, okay, well, where's that coming from? So that's more or less what we set out to do. And, again, we're confident in that first pass of work to the point where we decided to put a drill pad up there and drill a few holes and test some theories in that. Hey, this is there's a lot of similarities to what we see at the Ken Zone and what we're seeing at the McClymont Fault area, and potentially how that whole system could be connected, and that's ultimately you know, in the longer term, what we're looking for is how, you know, it's district scale, right? When you talk about the size of the project, the size of the areas we're exploring, I mean, these are large areas, and it's, of course, it's the center of the Golden Triangle, where we're known to be in elephant country. So that, yeah, it's going to be a lot of work in tying those spots together and how they could potentially be related to each other.
So far on the Ken Zone, there were 4 diamond drill holes totaling a little over 400 meters. I assume there's still going to be ongoing drilling here. How many meters are you expecting to at least end this program with being drilled at the Ken Zone?
Where it's all dependent on weather, really. And like I said, now that we're, tomorrow will be in the first day of October, it's a little higher elevation target to compare to where we're at right now. It's up out of the tree line. So I unfortunately can't comment on how many more meters we could see there, because it really just becomes a logistical challenge this late in the season. But I can say from the work that we've done so far this year, that again, we're our confidence, and this is true over of all the drilling we've been doing, remains just as it was. We feel confident in what we're seeing, and unfortunately, just going to have to wait until for the numbers to speak for themselves.
All right, final target, the Chachi Corridor. There hasn't been any drilling here, but you have done some mapping. You're doing a lot of surface work there. What updates can you give us from this Chachi Corridor, please?
Yeah, Chachi's that's a really exciting area for me. So we've been doing a lot of geophysics there actually as well. Yeah, which goes into the surface work. But follow up from work we done in 2019, when we first hypothesized really about this area about a year and a half ago. This is just from a data amalgamation and some other computer work we did, and thought there's something going on here, and something for your listeners to understand and kind of consider that I find really important at a high level is when we talk about the Chachi Corridor. Okay, so we're saying, okay, this is a 10 kilometer by 4 kilometer area. First off, that's the target area, and we're getting all these, high grade gold, silver, copper, lead, zinc, nickel, cobalt, you name it. That's over this wide area, but there's different localities where these different metals are concentrating, right? It's not all in one spot. Here's an area where we're seeing, let's say, nickel cobalt. Here's an area where we're seeing high grade gold, and it's all these different localities within that general area. And what I find to be equally as important when we're talking about, again, we want to find the elephants, is looking around at where's the metal been stripped from, right? As important as it is finding where it's concentrated, let's look at the size of the areas of what's been stripped. And it gives us a bit of a insight into the potential size of the systems in this area. So that's something really important. You'll see more of that moving forward. But what the target of the geophysics in the mapping and all this other surface work has been narrowing down in getting drill targets in this area, particularly within, okay, here's, let's say, a system that's targeting high-grade silver, with associated base metals. Okay, well, that's a distinct unit in itself. Maybe there's something that's high-grade gold with copper. There's another distinct thing in itself. But we believe the whole area to be related. So a lot of updates are going to be coming out of Chachi. I think it's a really exciting spot, and of course the double-edged sword with finding something brand new is that blue sky potential is there, but also it's brand new, so you don't know a whole lot about it, and it takes the time to understand what's going on, and as we want to do with all of our drilling, if we're going to drill something, it's because we have a high level of confidence as to what we're going to see when we make those drill hole decisions.
All right, final comments here, Cole. This one might be harder to answer, but when it comes to the delay in getting some of these drill results back, has that impacted some of maybe the follow-up work or some of the variability of the drilling that you were planning on doing? In a sense, using some of the early results to guide the drill, you don't really have that ability right now as you're waiting for these results.
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Corey. It can. What I would say though, I think that would be a big issue when you're talking about areas where you have very little data to work with. I'll use Ken as an example, right? When you asked about Ken, okay, well, what's part of our strategy? Okay, there's logistical constraints when you're getting late in the season, but also too is, hey, okay, we've drilled our holes. We have what we have. I'll just say that, and you wait on the assays to see are your theories correct. When we're talking about areas like the McClymont Fault where we've already drilled there before, right? We were drilling there in 2019, of course, back from the 80s as we've been working through in the early 2000s, this historic core. We can gather a lot of information from all that drilling that has been done. I mean, albeit it's not very much relative to anything around us, but and we use a lot of in-field technology. You know, these people hear us talking about a different elemental geochemical techniques in something that I'm a big fan of called hyperspectroscopy. So we have enough proxies, so to speak, that we can determine in the field in live time. And that's really what guides our decisions. That in conjunction with all your classical, you know, geological techniques, your mapping, your cross sections, your structures, all these different things. So it doesn't actually affect us a whole lot, but depending on the target you're drilling, it can be a challenge. Absolutely.
All right. Well, if anybody has any follow-up questions for Cole regarding anything going on at Indoro, please email me fleck@kereport.com. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Indoro, and undoubtedly we will be following up when we get the first round of drill results back into the markets and back from the assay labs. Cole, thanks for your time. Thanks for the update today.
Thanks, Corey. My pleasure.